It's an amazing section of scripture, you know, Jesus said about himself, about the Spirit in Hebrews, that he was the author and the perfecter of faith. And so as the incarnate Son of God, the Son of Man, scripture says he was the second Adam, that God never has to walk by faith. But Jesus walked by faith because he lived on earth as man, spirit-filled man, to reveal to us how we were intended to live. And one of the things I've discovered, I've been reading a lot through Philippians every day because we're doing that on Wednesday nights. We began last week. And just some stunning things that Paul encouraging this church that was in a lot of ways his favorite church. It's like, This is the nicest letter Paul ever wrote. And because Paul could be a little bit tough to the point. And he was so grateful for them because they had helped him in his ministry for years. But even with them, who he was so proud of, he would talk about conducting themselves in certain ways, standing firm, you know, be blameless. Don't let the enemy win. And I've found that in this way, the people of the way, this way of life that's different than the way of the world and the way the world lives, really, if you're going to walk it out, you have to be very intentional about walking it out. And you can't allow the enemy to give you any excuse to not walk it out. Things like, again, you can't allow any person's behavior change the truth about who Jesus is, right? And therefore who he is in you. And so when the Lord says testing our faith, like he likes to test our faith, it's because we have two school teachers here. And so when you give tests, you want to see what people know. It's an opportunity for them to prove that they're actually learning and listening. And so God gives us tests because we advance. We discover, oh, wow, I don't believe at all, or my belief is very weak, or yes, I believed in him. And so God will, he does that. It grows us up. So when these Martha and Mary sent the courier to where Jesus was, which was a few days away, because their brother Lazarus was really ill, they said, the one whom you love is sick. And they were telling him to come to save his life, because they knew he could. And Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, what Jesus was saying was that this is not going to be about death. It's going to be about the glory of God, because he did die. Now, he was raised from the dead, but it was in the end about the glory of God. Now, let me just say this to you. Everything that Jesus is involved in, if you'll just follow him, it'll all be about the glory of God. That's what he does. We mentioned this last week, that when he finally went, by the time he got to where Lazarus lived in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And as he got to the outskirts of Bethany, Martha heard that he was coming and she ran out to him and said to him, Lord, if you'd only been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And they have this conversation and she goes and tells Mary that Jesus is there asking for her. And so Mary goes out. And I think Mary was offended because Mary and Martha both heard that Jesus was on the outskirts of the town. But I think Mary was offended because he could have saved her brother's life. She knew that. And she's the one who washed his feet with her hair, wiped with her hair. And she was this massive person who loved Jesus so much. So much so, again, that he revealed himself to her first in the resurrection. So she doesn't come when Martha comes, but Martha goes back and says, the Lord is here and he's asking for you. That's very pointed. The Holy Spirit did that. And when she hears that, she jumps up and goes to him. So when she gets to him, she falls down at his feet and says the same thing Martha said. If you'd only been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And the way the grammar's written is that she said that again and again, was just saying that, repeating that to him. And when Jesus saw her wailing, that was the language she was wailing, and he saw the friends wailing, he wept too. So he wasn't compassionless. He knew their pain. And he walked over to the tomb and he said, roll back the stone. And then Martha came to him the second time and said, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. He's going to smell really bad. And Jesus said to her, if you'd only believe, did I not say to you, if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God? Now, see, here's what Christians want. They want to see the glory of God, then they'll believe. Like, we want to carry around our doubts, our offense, and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus didn't say that. You remember, she said, if you'd only been here, my brother would have lived. Mary said, if you'd only been here. Jesus said, and all these ifs, and again, we said this last week, but this is so important. This is a powerful inner healing thing for me. Many years ago, the Lord showed me this. Because Jesus said, if you'd only believe. They were all going, if. We all have a bunch of ifs in our life, don't we? If I hadn't made this decision, if they hadn't made that decision, if this hadn't happened, if this went on, if money hadn't gone this way, or economy hadn't gone south, if somebody hadn't cheated us, or whatever. All these ifs. Jesus said, in all the ifs, if you'll just trust me with them, if you'll just believe in me, doesn't matter whether everything's done right or perfect or whatever's going on in your life, could be even somebody meant evil to you, but God intends it for good. He said, if you'll just believe, you'll see the glory of God. He again didn't say, if you'll see the glory of God, then you'll finally believe. We want to see the outcome, don't we? We want to know all the answers. Then we'll believe. Jesus said, believe. Then you'll see the glory of God. And so when it was time for him to raise Lazarus from the dead, they rolled the stone away. Jesus looked up to heaven and says, Lord, I thank you that you hear me. And I thank you that you always hear me. But for their sake, I said this out loud, that they would believe. And then he goes, Lazarus, come forth. And what was Jesus doing? What he always does, teaching. He's the author and the perfecter of faith. The scripture says we live by the faith of the Son of God. So Jesus was giving them a public demonstration of what believing looks like. If you only believe, you'll see the glory of God. So he was giving them a public example. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you hear me. And Lord, you always hear me. But I said this so that they would hear it and they would believe. So what does faith look like? We make it real complicated. We create these formulas. You know, people do series on faith. It's just not that hard. Jesus said this. Before he ever saw Lazarus come forth from the grave, he said, Father, thank you. What was he thanking him for? He was thanking him for the fact that the glory of God was about to be manifested before it was manifested. We don't wait to see to believe. Believing is seeing. And Jesus gave thanks in anticipation of a God-given victory. That's the way faith works. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he didn't wait until they were fed, then thank the Lord. It says in John 6, he looked up to heaven and said, thank you. What was he doing? Again, demonstrating what faith looks like for his disciples. He thanked the Father for a God-given victory before he ever saw it in the natural. That's what faith does. And so whatever it is that you might be going through, one, maybe you were really wronged in the past and all the ifs in your life, all the things, if you think they would have gone differently, would be better, just believe. It's not too late. Just believe. Lord, you didn't cause that, but I know that I'm going to see the glory of God out of this. And what's probably true, he'll talk to you and say, this happened years ago. Let me show you how the glory of God's already been manifested in your life because of it. And those are great lessons for us, because whatever you might be facing today, the same truth is true. Don't wait to see the glory of God to thank him. Thank him in anticipation that you're going to see the glory of God before you've ever seen it yet with your physical eyes. Because Jesus said to them, if you'll only believe, didn't I say to you, if you only believe you see the glory of God, then he basically said, now let me show you how it works. It's with a disposition of thank you. Whatever might be going on, was it a good thing that Lazarus died? No. Was it a painful thing? Yes. But Jesus said, thank you, Father. This situation is yours, and I'm thanking you that we're going to see the glory of God manifest. That's the sheer simplicity of the faith of Christ. One step at a time, before you ever see it with your natural eyes, thanking him. I don't go into a counseling situation, that's going to be a difficult one, or a speaking situation where there are people there who may not want to hear what I'm going to say or be hostile to what I'm going to do. I don't walk in a situation begging God. I don't wait until afterwards and go, boy, Lord, thank you, cha-ching. I walk into the situation going, Lord, I don't have a clue what all you're going to do, but I want to thank you for this situation and that I'm going to see the glory of God. And he's always faithful. It's that simple. Now, how intentional are you to be a person of faith? Because anything that's robbing you from that simplicity is from the enemy. Anything that's keeping you from being thankful in whatever situation that you're in, thankful because you're going to see the glory of God, whatever's keeping you from being thankful, that's the enemy. That's the voice of the enemy. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.